Assalamu alaikum. Last podcast we talked about encryption. God willing, I wanted to talk about one of the verses we brought up. A question that comes up a lot, especially when people first receive the message. So let's start. In 7182, it says, "As for those who reject our revelations, we lead them on without them ever realizing it." And in 6844, it says, "Therefore, let me deal with those who reject this hadith. We lead them on whence they never perceive." And the question is, you know, why would God lead them on? You know, why would God do that to them? And the answer to this is in actually 1975 and 76, where it says, "Say, those who choose to go astray, the Most Gracious will lead them on until they see what is promised for them, either the retribution or the hour. That is when they find out who really is worse off and weaker in power." Verse 76 reads, "God augments the guidance of those who choose to be guided, for the good deeds are eternally rewarded by your Lord and bring far better returns." This is God's system, from my understanding, is that whatever decision we choose, God augments that decision. And the way that this works is actually the way that by which we're designed. The way our brains work is that there's an expression that says neurons that fire together wire together, meaning that if you believe, say for instance, a thought corresponds with another thought that corresponds with another thought, these are all wired together to trigger the same response. And when we choose, in essence, to believe or to disbelieve, what we're doing is we're reaffirming all our thoughts to that basic understanding. That if someone comes to the conclusion, they say God does not exist, everything that they see, everything that they perceive, will continuously reaffirm that thought. Similarly, if someone chooses to believe, God will allow them to see all the miracles, all the blessings that he's bestowed, so that these two people, they will see the same event, yet perceive it completely differently. And I don't know how many people have watched the movie Pulp Fiction, but it's actually a very profound movie. In that movie, basically, an event takes place. I don't want to do any spoilers, but an event takes place. One of the characters sees this event and says, "Eh, you know, basically, it's a one in a million possibility. It didn't happen. It wasn't meant to be. No big deal," right? They don't think anything miraculous about this. The other person sees the event and says, "There is no way that that outcome could have been what it was without some sort of divine intervention." So in one event, someone sees it and says, "Hey, it's a low probability, but it's a probability nevertheless. So therefore, it happened. If it happened any other way, so be it." While the other person sees this and realizes that there's so much more to the situation than what's perceived. And from that, you can have someone who's a believer, someone who's a disbeliever, someone who's seen a miracle, someone who denies a miracle, yet they're both looking at the same amount of information. And God's system works in the same way, that those who basically make the decision to believe, that they see, you know, they look around us, they look at the complexity in life, they look at, you know, the way that the universe, the earth, the atmosphere, everything is constructed, and they say there's absolutely no way that this didn't happen without some sort of divine intervention. While the same, you know, disbeliever will look at this outcome and say, "Yeah, the probability is really low, but we're here, so we just happen to win the luck of the draw." And it's absolutely fascinating how we can both be in the same world, look at the same information, and come to some two completely drastically different understandings from that. And if you look at some of the verses, God talks about this system. In 10, 100 through 101, it reads, "No soul can believe except in accordance with God's will, for he places a curse upon those who refuse to understand. Say, look at all the signs in the heavens and the earth. All the proofs and all the warnings can never help people who decide to disbelieve." So there's a verse this reminds me of. It says, because it says, "For he places a curse upon those who refuse to understand." And it's in 288. And in 288, the header is, "My mind is made up." Let me just flip to that. It reads, "Tragic statement, my mind is made up. Some would say our minds are made up. Instead, it is a curse from God as a consequence of their disbelief that keeps them from believing, except for a few of them." Now you think of this. Someone who's saying my mind is made up, there's no information you can present to me that's going to change my mind, there is no hope for that person for as long as they maintain that belief. And the reason is because the way that our minds are created is that if we're not going to be open to new information, we will be blocked from understanding anything that contradicts what it is we believe. And this is just the way that we're designed. And God knows us better than we know ourselves. For God's sakes, He designed us. And in 13:11, it tells us how to basically overcome that. And in 13:11, it reads, almost there. It says, shifts of angels take turns staying with each one of you. They are in front of you and behind you. They stay with you and guard you in accordance with God's command. Thus, God does not change the condition of any people unless they themselves make the decision to change. If God wills any hardship for any people, no force can stop it, for they have none beside Him as Lord and Master. Now, one of the questions that comes up is says, hey, how is someone supposed to change if they made up their mind? And God creates scenarios by which He gives us the opportunity to change. And it's at those crucial moments that it's determined if we're going to make the right decision or the wrong decision. And whatever decision we make, God allows us to carry out in that decision. And an example of this can be found in 21 in regards to Abraham and his people. So let me just flip over to chapter 21. And the verse is, let's start from 56. So he said, this is Abraham, your only Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth who created them. This is a testimony to which I bear witness. I swear by God, I have a plan to deal with your statues as soon as you leave. So a little bit of background. The people of Abraham at that time, they're worshiping statues. Abraham realized that this is absolutely moronic. And he wanted to prove a point to these people. And at this time, Abraham is a youth and these are all adults. And so what he did, it continues in verse 58. He broke them into pieces, except for a big one, that they may refer to it. They said, whoever did this to our gods is really a transgressor. They said, we heard a youth threaten them. He is called Abraham. They said, bring him before the eyes of all the people that they may bear witness. They said, did you do this to our gods, O Abraham? Abraham proves his point in verse 63. He said, it is the big one who did it. Go ask them if they can speak. Then the people, they were taken back. So this is verse 64. It says, they were taken back and said to themselves, indeed, you are the ones who have been transgressing. Yet they reverted to their old ideas and they responded, you know full well that these cannot speak. So at that moment, when Abraham dealt that deathly blow of saying, look, these idols that you're worshiping cannot even talk. That they realized when they called Abraham the transgressor, that they were actually the ones transgressing. And at that moment, they had the possibility of changing their belief. And it's called cognitive dissonance, when we realize that our beliefs contradict reality. And what you have at that moment, at that time, is to confront reality and accept it, or to basically revert back to your old beliefs. And at the time of the people of Abraham, they clearly reverted back. And this is the same for all people. And in 3:178, it reads, let not the disbelievers think that we lead them on for their own good. We only lead them on to confirm their sinfulness. They have incurred a humiliating retribution. Now, God constantly says we lead them on, right? And in this verse, He says we lead them on to confirm their sinfulness. Think of this. We came into this world for one purpose, to prove to the degree by which we believe or disbelieve. We will continue down that path until we reach our apex, until we reach our potential of belief or disbelief. Because sometimes people ask, they say, you know, there's so many heinous, hideous, terrible people in this world. Why would God allow that? And what we don't realize is that, look, the purpose of this world is to just show how good an individual is or just how horrible an individual is. And that's what we're here to confirm. God already knows, but we need to see it for ourselves. So on the day of judgment, when we end up, you know, God willing, in heaven, and God forbid in hell, we know the reason we got there. In 1693, it says, had God willed, He could have made you one congregation, but he sends astray whoever chooses to go astray, and he guides whoever wishes to be guided. You'll surely be asked about everything you have done. And again, we see this, that God, whatever decision we make, God allows us to carry through to that decision. You know, God wishes the best for us. God wishes, in the sense, wishes probably isn't the right word, but God would like to see his creatures succeed, you know. But he gives us that decision, because that's what we came to this world for. In 33:72, it says, freedom of choice. We have offered the responsibility, freedom of choice, to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they refused to bear it and were afraid of it. But the human being accepted it. He was transgressing, ignorant. Now think of this. God gave us the responsibility to denounce basically our idol worship, our egotism. But we wanted to be in this experiment. We wanted to carry through to make the decision on our own. Now God allows us to do that in this world. To decide, do we want to allow God to be our God, or do we want to allow our egos, our property, our families to be our God, you know, or our blatant idols, right? Statues and prophets and saints. And whatever decision we choose, God allows us to go through with that decision. In 10:8, I believe, let's see if I can find it. 10:9, sorry. It says, God guides the believers in the header. It says, as for those who believe and lead a righteous life, their Lord guides them by virtue of their belief. Rivers will flow beneath them in gardens of bliss. Now you think of this. Sometimes people run into a moral decision and they ask themselves, what is the right decision to make? God in this verse, what I take away from it, is that it says God leads you by virtue of your belief. If you have a higher belief, you have a higher trust in God, you have a higher potential, you will make a better decision than someone who has a lower belief, a lower trust in God. Meaning that both parties might make the right decision, but by stature, the level of belief you have, it's going to be either more pleasing to God or less pleasing. But at the end of the day, it's our choice, and it corresponds with our level of belief. 35:39, it reads, he is the one who made you inheritors of the earth. Subsequently, whoever chooses to disbelieve does so to his own detriment. The disbelief of the disbelievers only augments their Lord's abhorrence towards them. The disbelief of the disbelievers plunges them deeper into loss. Now you think of this. It takes the same amount of energy to believe or to disbelieve. It's a thought. But those who choose to believe, God rewards the manifold. Those who choose to disbelieve, while they might be pleasing their ego, they're suffering the long-term consequences. And by long-term, not only in this life, if they maintain that belief through this life, it would be for all of eternity. What a terrible, terrible outcome. In 6:110-111, it says, we control their minds and their hearts. Thus, since their decision is to disbelieve, we lead them in their transgressions blundering. Even if we sent down the angels to them, even if the dead spoke to them, even if we summoned every miracle before them, they cannot believe unless God wills it. Indeed, most of them are ignorant. We see that, you know, our belief in God is a true blessing. We did not come to this belief because of our quick wit, our cleverness. We came to this conclusion because God allowed us to. It was God's blessing to open up our hearts. You know, we could have been blundering and astray and just completely clueless to the purpose of this world, the purpose to our lives. But God allowed us to basically see the truth. And 81:29 says, whatever you will is in accordance with the will of God, Lord of the universe. And in 92:4-13, it reads, your works are of various kinds. As for him who gives to charity and maintains righteousness, and upholds the scripture, we will direct him towards happiness. But he who is stingy, though he is rich, and disbelieves in the scripture, we will direct him towards misery. His money cannot help him when he falls. We provide the guidance. We control the hereafter as well as this life. And there's plenty more verses that talk about this topic. And I'm going to end with 3:177-179. It says, those who choose disbelief instead of belief do not hurt God in the least. They have incurred a painful retribution. Let not the disbelievers think that we lead them on for their own good. We only lead them on to confirm their sinfulness. They have incurred a humiliating retribution. God is not to leave the believers as you are without distinguishing the bad from the good. So God willing, we're going to stop there. As always, if you guys got questions, topics you guys want to talk about, feel free to send us an email at QuranTalk@gmail.com. Until next time, peace and God bless.